Our first reading today comes from a book we rarely read from in church. The theme of the book of Maccabees, that is Jewish nationalism and Jewish religion, seem rather remote and irrelevant to us. Nevertheless, I think the reading presents an important challenge for us, a challenge we overlook at our own peril. A little background might help. About 200 years before Jesus was born, a despot, Antiochus Epiphanes, came to rule over an extensive area of the Middle East, including Israel. Because this vast empire included so many different ethnic groups, languages, and religions, Antiochus thought that the key to peace would be to eliminate, as far as possible, individual differences by imposing a common language and a single state religion. In Israel, where national identity, language, and religion were inextricably interrelated, Antiochus was ruthless. He desecrated the Jewish temple by installing a statue of Zeus. Furthermore, he outlawed circumcision as barbaric and ridiculed the Jewish kosher laws as nonsensical. Today's reading deals with that last provocation. When certain Jews ignored the prohibition against keeping kosher, the king ordered all Jews, under threat of severe punishment, to submit to a public act of eating pork. The book of Maccabees recounts the story of one family who refused to capitulate to this demand. Seven brothers along with their mother. When given the chance to pretend to eat pork, the oldest brother refused and was tortured in the presence of his siblings and his mother. When he persisted in his defiance, he was murdered. The other six brothers were brutalized in the same way. One was beaten, another was scourged with whips, and another scalded with boiling water. The one mentioned in this morning's reading had his tongue ripped out and his hands chopped off. Finally, after watching all her children tortured and killed, the mother was also executed. At first glance, the defiant response of the Maccabees hardly seems proportionate, does it? After all, preserving human life is more important than ingesting a piece of pork, isn't it? But the Maccabees were not just resisting that one simple infringement. They were resisting the emperor's assault on their entire religion. The brothers refused to be terrorized into turning their back on the God who created them and rescued them from slavery and brought them into the promised land. This one Jewish family heroically stood their ground and said, "No, there is something here worth standing up for, no matter the personal cost." To the Jews, and to us adopted children of the same covenant, the Maccabees are not just heroes, they are martyrs. The Greek word martyr means witness, to give testimony to some person or some truth or some value, no matter what the cost. The example of the martyrs reminds us that there needs to be a consistency between what we profess and how we live out our faith. The church has celebrated martyrs from the time of the Maccabees all the way up to the present. Think, for example, of Archbishop Romero, canonized just 1 year ago. Archbishop Romero stood up to the military oppressors and defended the rights of the persecuted in El Salvador. Despite death threats, he echoed the Maccabees in his defiance. "No," Romero said, "there is something here worth standing up for, no matter what the cost to me." Think too of Martin Luther King, who struggled mightily against racial injustice in this country and paid for that struggle with his life. Not all martyrs die because of their courageous witness. but they all pay a costly price. Consider Dorothy Day. Although she died a natural death, we might legitimately call her a martyr too, because of her vocal witness on behalf of the poor, the homeless, and the despondent. What was the cost to her? Well, in addition to a life of voluntary and exhausting poverty, she incurred the wrath of many powerful people, including many Catholics, including the Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Spellman. The example of the Maccabees and these other modern martyrs presents us with a challenge. Their witness compels us to examine the consistency, or perhaps the lack of consistency, between what we profess as Christians and how we act. It demands that we ask ourselves whether we actually walk the gospel walk or merely talk the gospel talk. I think the whole gospel can be summarized in three words: love, serve, and forgive. I doubt if any of you would deny the importance of any of them for authentic Christian living. To love as Christ loved means not to love just family and friends, to love not just those who are attractive or charming or intelligent. As Christians, you and I are challenged to love even people who make it difficult for us to love them. People who are utterly exasperating. We are called to seek out the lonely and the friendless, no matter what the cost to us. To serve means not stinting in putting our gift, our talents, and our time at the disposal of those who need our help. Not just at Thanksgiving or at Christmas or when it's convenient, but in season and out of season, as St. Paul tells his protege, Timothy. To forgive. This gospel challenge is perhaps the most difficult. To surrender our justified anger and our reasonable desire for revenge toward those persons who hurt us or betray us. And to acknowledge that they are fallible human beings just like you and me. Without a doubt, it's hard to live all the gospel all the time. It's helpful to remember, therefore, that God delights in and rewards even our modest efforts to live out the gospel. So why not open your heart to God's inspiration and grace? Why not take a moment after communion this morning to ask God who it is that God wants you to love or to serve or to forgive this week?